Lord, for your goodness. Thank you, Father, Lord, for all you are to us, Lord. You're an awesome God. You're a God of provision, a God of deliverance, a God of healing. Lord, you're a God of comfort. Lord, you're everything. You are everything, Father, that we need you to be. And we thank you, Lord. We welcome your presence here tonight. Lord, we ask your anointing, Lord, would be on this lesson. Give me utterance, Lord, to deliver it. Give your people hearing ears, Lord, and a receiving heart. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Tonight we're talking about angels. We're going to be doing a study on angels. Now, most of us, I know most of us, or at least every person, have heard stories about angels, or probably read some book about angels. There are tons of books that are written on the topic of angels. Now, angels are very powerful beings. They're heavenly beings, and they're very powerful, and they all have different ranks and assignments, okay? They're not those cute, chubby little things that we see on with wings, just fluttering about. No, I don't know whose idea that was. I think they probably got it from the cherub. They're cherubims and they're seraphims. Well, I'm not going to talk about those. No, I was kind of doing a little bit of study in seraphims and cherubims, and they have eyes in their backs and six wings and all that sort of stuff. And, I thought to myself, those are definitely not the kind of angels I want to encounter, But, we're going to talk about the ones that look like us. They take the form of human beings. And the Bible says for us to be careful, how we treat people, because a lot of times we can entertain angels and don't know that we're entertaining angels. I didn't think I was going to tell this story, but this happened to me when I think I was still in high school, or it might have been I was off on break or something, but this lady came to my house. I'd never seen her before, and she told me she was hungry, and could I make her something to eat? And I said, sure. But you know when you meet someone or you encounter someone and there's something about them, you're trying to figure out what it is, but you just can't put your finger on it. Well, this lady was that type of lady. So I went into the kitchen, and I know I made her some toast, and I scrambled some eggs, and I cut a couple slices of cheese, and I think I made her some hot cocoa, or might have been Ovaltine or something, that would be had back then. And I laid it out, in the tray. My mom was very particular about that. When you gave somebody, something, you put it on the tray and everything, and I gave it to her, and she sat down and she ate, and I watched her eat. And then she just got up and walked out the door, down the stairs, never said a word. And I remember standing, I moved from the door to the window, and I thought, huh, she didn't even say thank you. She just ate like she was hungry, And I told this story to say another one. I think it was Jesse Duplantis this past week was telling a story about the most forlorn person that he had ever seen in his entire life. By a street corner, one day he was going someplace and he saw this man, and he said this man looked so pitiful. He had never seen anybody who looked so down and out like he looked. And so the guy locked eyes with him and said, could you help me? But he was in a hurry to get to something, and he said to the man, just wait, I'll be right back. And he ran, he had to go around the corner somewhere, and he said as soon as he rounded the corner, the Holy Spirit, the Lord convicted him. And the Lord said, you just missed your chance. That was an angel.
Oh, wow.
And he said he ran back to look for the man, and he said in the short space of time that he left, and considering how down and out the man looked and weak, and he said there's no way that man could have disappeared that fast, you know, that he looked everywhere for him and he couldn't find him. He lost an opportunity, you know. So that's my introduction. You know, we, you know, sometimes we get so busy with our own business, our own things, that we don't want to take time, you know, to help someone or to speak with them, you know, give them a hug or something, because we're too busy focusing on our own selves. And a lot of times, God sends angels our way, you know, to see what we will do. And, you know, a lot of times we say, oh, I wish I can see an angel. And then he sends one, but because they don't look like an angel, you know, we missed it. We missed the boat. But I know nobody in here does that. Okay. So like I was saying, angels are very powerful heavenly beings, and they have different ranks. And so I'm going to focus in tonight. Hopefully I have enough time. I'm focusing tonight on guardian angels. You know, we have angels that guard us. Hebrews 1:14 says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to them who shall be heirs of salvation? We are the heirs of salvation. Okay? If you're born again, Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you're living for him, you are an heir of salvation. And an angel is available to help you when you need it. How do they minister to us? Well, it, you know, depending on what we need. They guard us. You know, they're given an assignment. Each person that was, when we came into this world, and especially when we got born again, we had an angel assigned to us. That angel's job is to look out for us, is to help us, you know, help make our path clear. The thing is, sometimes we don't cooperate with our angel. You know, we get stubborn and we get rebellious. We're set in our own way. And our angel is working really hard to get us to go this way. But because we're determined to go that way, you know, the angel knows that there's trouble waiting, you know, over here. And he's trying to get us to go this way. But we're not listening, you know. You know, sometimes we get impressions. You know, we feel a certain impression, oh, I should do this, you know, and it's just on you. That's our angel. We don't realize it's our angel. And then we don't listen, we don't follow the impression, and we go our own way, and then we get ourselves in trouble, and we say, oh, I should listen. It's too late then, you know? Now, we have to remember that angels won't make us do anything, okay? When God created us, he created us with a free will. Sometimes I wish he didn't. But, you know, he didn't want a bunch of robots serving him. He wanted a bunch of people who chose to love him, who chose to serve him. And so our angels, they will not enforce their will on us, all right? Just yesterday, my niece, she lives in Canada, and she was sharing with me about a friend of hers who lost, I think, her brother. And it was a tragic way he died. And the friend was so hurt, you know, and she was so angry with God because she said, why didn't God protect him? And a lot of people have asked that question. Why didn't God protect him? You know, why did God let this and why did God let that? But, you know, I don't know all the details and everything, but this I do know. We are free will agents. We have a free will. Our angel is assigned to help us, not to impose their will, okay? If the Holy Spirit is speaking to us, you know, telling us not to do certain things, and as Christians there are some things, you know, we know right from wrong. And if we're determined to violate God's word, violate the biblical principles and do our own thing, when we get in trouble, then we shouldn't ask why our angel didn't help us. He can't. You know, because we made a choice. Now the angel will do everything in his power, you know, to pull us back. You know, he'll probably put some blockage in our way. Most of you remember the story with Balaam. He was going to curse the children of Israel, you know, and him and his donkey, and he wouldn't listen. And, you know, the donkey crushed his foot against the wall, and he hit the donkey, and then he realized it was the angel was standing in his way to block him. You know, so when we violate God's principles, when we violate God's word, you know, we tie our angel's hands, okay? You know, because he's not going to make us do stuff. Just like God isn't going to make us do things. If he could, and if the angels could, nobody would get hurt. Everybody would be saved and on their way to heaven, you know. Its world would be perfect. But we, our will comes into play. So, you know, let's remember that when the Holy Spirit is dealing with us about something, and our angel is trying to, you know, pave a different path for us, and we're being rebellious, and then we stomp our foot or we hit our head, let's remember that it's on us and not on our angel, okay? Now let's take a look at Matthew. Matthew chapter 18, verse 10. Now this is Jesus talking. He said, "Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels always do behold the face of my Father which is in heaven." Now I've always wondered what did Jesus mean when he says that in heaven their angels always do behold the face of their Father. So I had to do a little bit of digging to see what it means. Now, we don't have kings and queens here, but we have a president. And, you know, there's protocol. If you want to go visit the president or you want to talk to him, you have to go through a lot of red tape and bureaucracy, and, you know, you just don't show up at the White House and demand to see the president and expect to be ushered in. And if you, by some chance, you know, happen to go past these people, and, you know, sooner or later somebody's going to apprehend you. You're not getting in, you know, without an invite or without an appointment. That's just the way it is. A lot of times the heavenly parallels the earthly, okay? God has got all these seraphims and cherubims, you know, and with wings and eyes and all over, you know, around him, they're over him, and they're crying, "Holy, holy, holy," and they're protecting the throne. No evil is allowed to go in there, okay? But these angels are there. They're there. They don't need an appointment to see God. Jesus said that their angels always do behold the face of my Father. Why? Because it's important. God wants to make sure that his angels know when one of his children needs help, okay? They don't have to make an appointment to find out, okay, you know, well, so-and-so needs, no, so-and-so needs help, They're there. They're in God's presence all the time. They have access to him because of us, his little ones, his children. God wants to, you know, angels are, not only are they strong, but they fly fast. They're speedy. I don't think Superman can compare to an angel. You know, zoom, your angel can come to you in a second, in a split second, they're there. Okay? And you know, they get their instructions from God. Angels are messengers. You know, they're our helpers. They're not omnipotent. They don't have all wisdom and all knowledge. They don't see everything. You know, they don't know everything like God does. So when one of his children needs help, when one of us is in trouble, angels don't necessarily know that. I used to think they did, but then I found out, no. They get instructions from God, okay? And so they're there in God's presence all the time. They know him. They know his personality. They know his, you know, his will. You know, we have kids. Some of us here, we have kids, and our kids know us. You know, we may not always know our kids, but they know us. They know our likes and our dislikes. You know, they know our voice. They know what makes us think, you know. These angels, they know God. They hearken, the word says, they hearken to the voice of his word. His word. I'm kind of getting ahead of myself. Let's read in Psalms 139, verse 12. This is David. He said, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Before you can say a word, God knows exactly what you're going to say. One time I had an encounter with one of those weird beings, and I was crying out for help. And by the time I said, Jesus, I cried out, Jesus. But before I could say, the presence of the Lord was in my room just like that. Just like that fast. He knew that I was calling for help, and he sent his angel, or he sent his presence. I don't know what he sent, but I'll tell you one thing, that demon flew out of there real quick. Came to my aid, rescued me.
Amen.
Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend into heaven, thou art there. This is David speaking. He said, if I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. Now, that's one place I don't want to make my bed. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there thy hand shall lead me and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. So God, what David is saying here, that God is omnipotent. He knows everything, okay? He knows it all. Nothing is hidden from him. But our angels, they don't always know that. But they get their instructions from God, right? God sends them, you know, to help us when we need help. They deliver us, okay? Let's read in Daniel chapter 6. This is one of my favorite angel stories in the whole Bible. We all know the story that Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. Why? Because he was praying. Now you would think that people would like you when you pray. Not these people. They didn't like Daniel. See, even back then, they don't like praying people, right? They were jealous of him, actually, because, you know, he was promoted, and I guess they weren't, so they were mad. And so they set a trap, you know, in which to snare Daniel so that they can throw him into this lion's den. People, you know, when we're living for God, when we're serving him, don't be surprised when the enemy stir up people against you. And the job, you know, wherever, there's an adversary coming against you. David had these bunch of, Daniel had these adversaries that started up. They pretended like they were honoring the king, and they told them, you know, we want you to pass this decree that nobody should pray to any god or anything except you for 30 days, you know, and if they do, they'll be thrown in the lion's den. And Daniel heard it, and the Bible said that he didn't back down. He knelt down by his bed, and he prayed nonetheless. How many of us would have done that? You know, we probably would have closed our window, you know, and find the farthest, darkest corner that we can get, pray real easy, so if they're listening outside, they can't hear us. But Daniel, you know, he took a stand for God, you know. And as Christians, there are going to be times when we need to take a stand for what is right, for what is holy, what is righteous, even if it costs us our job, may cost us a promotion. In this case, these people were hoping that it was going to cost Daniel his life, so they had him thrown into the lion's den. Now, the king wasn't happy about it because he liked Daniel, but because he had made the decree, and because the decree of the Persian Martians didn't change, he couldn't change it when he found out that Daniel is the one, you know, that got caught into this trap, because, you know, they were watching him, and he prayed, and so they ran and told the king, and then they demanded that the king, you know, kept this promise. So Daniel ended up in the lion's den. But before Daniel was thrown in there, the king said, "Thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee." See, the king had faith in Daniel's God, all right? So let's go to Daniel 6. And we're just, you know, for the sake of time, we're going to go down to verse 19. "Then the king rose early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions." The king hadn't been able to sleep all night. He didn't eat, he didn't sleep, he didn't want no entertainment, he was miserable. So he could hardly wait for morning to come. Morning came, so he ran to the den in haste. "And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said unto Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Then Daniel said unto the king, O king, live forever." Can you imagine the relief the king felt when he heard Daniel's voice? You know? I mean, he must have been straining his ear. Daniel, you know, and he's just waiting to hear, and then he heard, "O king." Daniel said, "O king, live forever. My God had sent his angel and had shut the lion's mouth, that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocence he was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt." Imagine that. I don't know how many lions were in that den. Even one lion was too much for me. And, maybe there were two, three, maybe half a dozen. Who knows when was the last time they had a good meal? You know? When Daniel was being thrown in, those lions were probably already licking their lips. You know, food. But they couldn't touch him. An angel was made to fly swiftly into the den with the lions. Can you imagine a bunch of lions, hungry lions, you know, and here comes this man, and then here comes another man, and the lions probably backed away. You know, that's my version. They probably, you know, just, what was that? Or maybe Daniel looked like a lion to them. You know, that was just another lion. They're not going to eat each other. My version. But, you know, the angel was there. And Daniel knew, because he said that God sent an angel and shut the lion's mouth. Angels can shut our mouths. You know that. When we're about to say something that we shouldn't say. One time, a family member got on my nerves really bad, and I was getting ready to say something. This was back in the day, back in the 80s somewhere. We're living up Jersey. And I opened my mouth to tell this person a few things, and I couldn't say a word. And I mean, I was trying to get out, and I could not say one word, you know? God shut my mouth, and I'm glad he did, because what was about to come out, I'm ashamed to say, wasn't going to be nice, you know? And I would have never been able, they probably would have never looked at me the same, because, you know, I'm Sister Jam. And I would have never been able to probably witness to them about God or tell them anything. In that one instant, I could have ruined my entire Christian testimony. Right? So maybe there was an angel there that shut my mouth too, for my own good. You know, sometimes, you know, God will shut our mouths. In this case, it were the lions. They had their mouth shut. No matter how hungry they were, they couldn't eat Daniel. No matter how delectable he looked, they couldn't touch him. Right? We can be in among a den of lions, physical lions, that is, and God can help us. He can heal, encircle us in a cloud of protection to where they can touch us. God will do it. Angels, they're on assignments. You know, years ago, Amy Grant used to sing a song. That was one of my favorite songs too. Angels watching over me. I don't know how many of you remember that song. Everywhere I go, angels watching over me. You know, we have angels that are among us. We just don't see them, you know? And they protect us, you know? They get us to change our minds a lot of times. They keep us from trouble. And we don't know that it's them doing it, you know? I remember Matthew, my son, he was probably about 6 or so. My husband worked in Atlanta at the time, and he was already gone, and I was asleep. He left about 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning. But I remember that something woke me up, and I felt this urge to pray in tongues. And so I got up and I started praying in tongues. And I don't know, I was in this prayer thing, you know, and I started getting louder and louder and louder, so loud that Matt woke up and came over to the room to see what was going on. You know, I saw his little head peeking in, you know, what's going on, you know. And then I felt to get up. So I got up and I went through the house and went into the kitchen, and our back door was open. It was wide open. Philip forgot to lock the door. And you know, I had a feeling that somebody was coming in, was about to come in, and they heard me praying and probably scared them and ran. You know, that's why the Holy Spirit had me get up and pray, because normally I don't pray like that. I mean, I got loud. You know, I know, so if some, you know, wicked person was coming in and heard some person praying like that in a weird language, you know, it could probably scare him off, you know. And I could not believe. I said, oh my God, he left the door open. You know, I didn't know. I believe that was an angel. You know, they're all around us. And so they protected Daniel. We all know the story, the people who schemed and plotted for Daniel, they became lunch. Mm-hmm. there was no angel for them, you know? Because you know, what does Hebrews 1:14 says? That they're ministering spirits sent to minister to those who are the heirs of salvation, you know? They minister to us. In this case, Daniel was ministered to. He was protected. He probably slept he probably had his head in the angel's lap and had a good sleep. While the king was losing sleep and was miserable all night, Daniel probably slept, you know, real good because he was protected. Psalms 91. Last year I did a series on Psalms 91. That's a psalm of protection, Psalms 91 verse 11. Where he will give his angels charge over thee. God gives his angels charge over his children, over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Verse 12, they shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Yeah. God gives his angels charge over us to keep us. He loves us so much. On my way here, I called my friend in Oklahoma. She had an angel story, and I wanted to make sure that I got the details right, because, you know, there's so many of them, you get things mixed up, you know. So I called her and I said, tell me about that angel story you told me years ago. And she said, yeah, she remembered it. She and her husband, they were on their way to Tulsa. And they were, you know, they had kids at ORU, and they're probably going for a visit. But anyway, they were driving, and their tire gave out under them. It just blew. Now, she said they were in the center lane, and I guess there were 5 or 6 lanes, you know. So, I mean, that's not a good place to have a blown-out tire. And she said the traffic, your cars were just zooming, no one was slowing down for them, but somehow they managed, you know, to find their way over to the far corner, and they pulled off to the side. They got out, didn't know what they were going to do. The jack, you know, they found out wouldn't work properly. They were trying to, you know, to, I guess, you use it. And then she said, out of the blue, this man came in a van. And she said he didn't speak to them. He just pulled up, got out his jack, came, you know, he didn't ask them nothing. I said, you mean he didn't ask, you know? She said, no. Well, she had prayed, she had started praying. And this man came, and he knew exactly what to do, fix the tire and whatever else needed fixing. And she said he just smiled at them, got into his van, and he just disappeared. That was an angel.
Yes.
These angels have got vans. Jerry Savell told a story in his angel story. This angel had a tow truck. So they've got vans and tow trucks. And he came and fixed her van. And didn't speak. She said he did not say one word to them. He just smiled at them, got into his van, and left. And then disappeared. Just disappeared. God heard her prayer.
Yes.
And he sent someone to minister to them. Their ministering spirit sent to minister to those who are the ears of salvation. He gives his angels charge over us to keep us in all our ways. I looked this verse up in the message, and I liked it. It said, he reads, he ordered his angels to guard you wherever you go. If you stumble, they'll catch you. Their job is to keep you from falling.
Amen.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
Wonderful.
Yes.
Angels have job, they work. Some people don't like to work. But you know, angels, they work. We sure keep them busy. I know sometimes I probably keep mine busy. When I'm asleep, I imagine my angel probably wiped his brow and say, they watch over us. That's their job. To protect us. You know, to guard us, to deliver us when we're in trouble. They're always there. Our job is to cooperate with our angel and not be rebellious and stubborn and disobedient. When we violate God's word, we're not helping our angel. You know, when we're rebellious and disobedient, we're not helping our angel, because our angel isn't going to make us do anything. Did I read this one? Psalms 34, verse 7. The angel of the Lord encamps round about them that fear him and delivers them. Coming back to that story that my niece told me about the girl who lost her brother and was mad with God, you know, it's difficult for our angel to deliver us when we don't fear God. He encamps runs about those that fear him. So if you don't fear God, you don't respect his word, you don't honor him, don't get mad with your angel. Don't get mad and say, well, why didn't God deliver me? Our angel cannot help us when we're disobedient and rebellious. You know, you hear the saying, sometimes people say bad things happen. Why do bad things happen to good people? Even good people can be rebellious and disobedient. Why did God allow this to happen? Or why did God allow that to happen? Our angels cannot help us when we're outside the will of God. They only hearken to the voice of God's word. Whatever God's word says, that's what they do. So, which brings me to this point. Our confession can tie our angels' hands. Our confession can paralyze our angel, make them unable to help us. If we're saying things that are contrary to God's word, and the angels only hearken to the voice of God's word, in other words, they only obey what God's word says, and we keep saying the opposite of what the word says, our angels can't help us. They can't. So, you know, we have to watch what we say. The word says death and life is in the power of the what? Tongue. And they that love it. You know, I used to hear that scripture all the time. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. And I would quote it all the time. And then the Holy Spirit said to me one day, you're forgetting the other part. No. You know, they caught that first part real good. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. But there's another part. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. What is it? Death or life? You will either eat the fruit of death, it, or you will eat the fruit of life, the other it. Because it's in our tongue, right? So when we speak contrary to God's word, what God's word says, you know, our angels just fold their hands. They can't help us. They want to help us. But because of what we're saying, you know, Mark 11:23 says we shall have what we say, 23:24, you know, we shall have what we say. So if we want our angels to be able to help us, to, you know, to help pave the way for us, we've got to watch what we say. We have to watch our confession. You know, I know it's hard, and I had to ask the Holy Spirit to help me. You know, before I say the wrong thing, I said, Lord, before I say something wrong, shut my mouth. You know, just, you know, let me not say it. Because, you know, if you say it and you don't repent, plead the blood of Jesus against what that negative thing that you say and cancel it by the blood of Jesus,
that's right.
It's out there. Sowing seeds that will bring forth fruit that you don't like, that we don't like.
That's right.
You know, sometimes we talk things on our own selves. We bring things on our own into our own lives that are not good because of what we were saying, because of our confession, our bad confession. All that, you know, that never happened to me. I'll never be debt free. You know, when I get to heaven, you know, that's when all my pains and stuff is going to go away. I mean, come on. You know, death and life is in the power of the tongue. And they that love it, what we love, that's what we're going to eat, the fruit of it, okay? But we can help our angel by speaking what? God's word. Because they hearken to the voice of God's word. They know his word. They're in his presence continually. They know what the word says. And when we say what the word says, they're in agreement with it, and they will come to our aid. They will help us. But when we speak contrary to what the word says, they don't know that word, and they're not going to hearken to it. So this is part one on angels. Tune in next week for part two.